you. We need you. We live to glorify your name. Glorify your name. We need you. no other name. I know no other name, 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 no other name. I know. Be exalted, higher and higher. Be exalted, be exalted, be exalted, higher and higher. Be exalted. Be exalted, higher and higher. There is no one higher, no one greater, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is no one higher, no one greater. No one greater, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior, great and glorious. Lord, we stand amazed in your presence.
Hallelujah.
Astounded by your mercy and love. Lifted high in surrender. Your grace for me is always enough. There is no one higher than our God. There is no one greater than you. Forever praise the glory of your name. There is no one higher than you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
So thankful that Brother Tom was a man that has a walk with God, that can be sensitive enough to hear the voice of God, to know when he needs to say what God wants us to hear. And I'm really glad Pastor and family's back. We missed you. If you missed him, give him a hand clap of praise. God's given us a great pastoral family. Hallelujah. You're missed. You're loved. When you're absent. You weren't absent. You're on vacation. But you need that. We all need that from time to time. You know, there's nothing greater than a life lived for God. There's no better way to spend a life than to serve God, to walk with God, to love God, to know that He loves you. And I believe the only way that we can love our world is through a supernatural love, the love of God. The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That's the kind of love that our world needs, folks. Only a supernatural love. My love can only go so far. I just want to tell my wife, I love you.
Third first rate today.
there's been plenty of times she's prayed for me. There's plenty of times, Lord knows, she wanted to kill me. But I believe a lot of times that I'm standing here today because of that woman's prayers.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I don't take that lightly. Wipe the tears, maybe I can read my notes. Hang on. It's great to be loved. The Lord's always wanting to change the condition of our heart and our soul for the better, and to have a closer walk with Him in His perfect will for our lives, every day of our lives. He's a God of involvement. People want to estrange themselves from God sometimes and distance themselves from God. We saw that with Adam and Eve. But He wants His perfect will for our lives. He's a God of involvement into the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl, the lost and the saved. The world would say, needs Him. I would say God's all about enriching our lives in every way that He can possibly can, because He loves us. Jeremiah 31 and 3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Pastor touched on this morning, when a mother draws a baby close to her, as a mother would, it's because of the love. We get real fond of our children. We get fond of people. I believe our Lord wants us to be fond of a lost world and look beyond their mistakes. Yesterday was a day Christine and I kind of celebrated an anniversary. Today is our anniversary. But yesterday she took time out of her time to minister to a young man, 20 years old, whose name was Christopher. Not my son. Another Christopher. And I allowed her to do that because she has a love. That's what we need more of, church.
You're the one who walks on water, and you calm the raging sea. You command the highest mountains to fall upon their knees. You're the one who welcomes sinners, and you open blinded eyes. You restore the brokenhearted, and you brought the dead to life. Forgetting all our sins, you remember free. You're the King who came to serve, and you're the God who washed our feet. You're the one who took our burdens, and you bled upon the cross. In your kindness and your mercy, you became a way for us. Forgetting all our sins, you remember all your promises. You are amazing, more than amazing. Forever our God, you're more than enough. You are amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amazing doesn't seem adequate. He's far beyond amazing. Ushers would come.
Thank you, Jesus.
Isn't church good?
Thank you, Jesus.
There's no place I'd rather be than right here, right now, this Sunday morning. And be able to feel the presence of God with his people.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Everywhere, stand and declare.
awesome God. Oh Lord, you are. Hallelujah, what a great God you are. Hallelujah, what a mighty God. What an awesome God. Oh Lord, you are. Hallelujah, what a great God you are. For the nations, Father of every generation, the people everywhere stand and declare He's a mighty God, a mighty God. Oh, for the nations, Father of every generation, people everywhere stand and declare He's a mighty God. Awesome God, oh Lord, you are. Hallelujah, what a great God you are. Hallelujah, what a mighty God, what an awesome God. Oh Lord, you are. Hallelujah, what a great God you are. Hallelujah, what a mighty God, what an awesome God. Oh Lord, you are. Hallelujah, what a great God you
are. Of you know Him to be a great God. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Do you want to say it is good to be home? We had a wonderful vacation. The only negative part was that we seemed to take down the rain with us. And they were thankful. They were in the middle of a drought, and we brought the rain, and so they were grateful for us to come. But it kind of rained on some of our vacation. But we made the most of it. We had a wonderful time. We were able to be with my father at United Pentecostal Church of Fruitland Park, and then able to be with my cousin over in Pentecostals of Titusville, and then able to be with my in-laws at Pentecostals of DeLand. So we had church on vacation.
Lots of it, yep.
And just had a wonderful time, but it is good to be back. Thank you for all those that lended a helping hand and helped the services to go off without a hitch. Had such good feedback. I saw the compliments on Facebook and other forums just saying what a good job those that were here did, and we're thankful that we can go, and I don't have to worry about how things are going to be handled and what's going to happen. Thank you for that. Thank you for your response. Thank you for your faithfulness to the house of God, and we're excited to be back and get back in the saddle, if you will, tonight. Revival by Design training beginning at 6:00, and those of you that signed up for refreshments, if you would please make sure that you bring those so that we have something to do in our break between the sessions tonight. Looking forward to getting back together doing that. The next Sunday, please be reminded, is Father's Day, and we will take a time out during that service to celebrate our fathers and acknowledge those fathers among us. It will be a small token, a gift, if you will, from the church to the fathers that are present here. And then there will be no PM activity here next Sunday night, no Revival by Design training. We will give way like we do on Mother's Day to spend time with family, and we encourage you to do that. And then Saturday, a week from yesterday, A great celebration. We are celebrating the graduation of Sister Allison Kreger. And the invitation, that's all right, you can applaud. That's something worthy of applause. The invitation is posted on the bulletin board in the back. It's also rolling on the announcements from 4 p.m. till whenever the party stops. But I encourage you to come and be a part of that. You may be reached out to by someone in the church to help and provide certain foods and refreshments. We want to do our best to support this and make sure you're available to come. And if nothing else, if you can't stay long, at least stop by and give her congratulations. I know she won't turn down cards or money either. You can do that as well. But we want to celebrate this occasion in her life. And so we're doing so this coming Saturday from 4 till whenever. If you have your Bibles and you would stand. So good to have Sister Levine and Zion and Asher and Finley in service with us this morning. I heard they were coming, then I heard they had car trouble and didn't know they were coming, so she snuck in, and had she not snuck in, I would have imposed upon her to sing this morning, but so good to have you in service with us. Give our greeting to your husband, Luke, and just so good to have wonderful people of the household of God, the family of God, so grateful. Titus chapter number 2, begin reading in verse number 11. Are you there? Can you say amen? I'll wait longer. It's that real long book toward the end of the New Testament. Titus chapter number 2, begin in verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. And this is the reason why he gave himself. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Everybody say, redeem us. He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify. Everybody say, purify. And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Jesus gave himself for us for two things: to redeem and to purify. To redeem and to purify. And the help of the Lord, that's what I want to preach to you upon this morning. Redeem and purify. Redeem and purify. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house this morning. Lord, we're thankful for the move of your Spirit already in this place, God, a sensitivity to the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray in the remaining moments of this service, God, that hearts would be attentive to your word, that it would stir, God, that it would renew us in the spirit of our mind, God, that we would be washed by it, God, strengthened by your love, God, that we would look herein, God, and find principles and precepts to live our lives by. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Redeem and purify. We might liken it to the collector who sees the classic among the junk. As he goes through the junkyard, he happens to notice familiar lines and happens to see something that was not too far gone from his own life. And he noticed this classic among the junk. He knows that with some time and effort, he can restore the luster and the shine, and he can make it stand out like it once did in its heyday. Or maybe like the lady who sees the exquisite antique under the layers of dirt and grime. She happens to be in a furniture store that really doesn't recognize what they have. They don't understand the treasure that sits there as other trinkets and stuff are adorned around it and on it. She knows that with some time and effort, she puts a little elbow grease and she works a little bit here and a little bit there with some work. This piece of furniture can once again be a centerpiece. She knows that it has value. She knows, she understands that there's something great. Or the teacher who sees the beyond the defiance and the temper and the bad behavior of the pupil who's hanging out with the wrong crowd. The teacher who notices the sharp eyes and the intelligence that others easily overlook. This, she understands that with some extra effort and some specialized attention, this student can be something extraordinary. The proverbial diamonds in the rough, the roses among the thorns, the beauty among the ashes. Those who understand that with patience and perseverance throughout the process, great things are produced. While we recognize this in the natural sense, we can understand the principle in regard to things in this life. We should also see the significance in regard to how God works. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." In other words, we are those pieces. We are those jewels. We are the diamonds in the rough. We are the roses among thorns, the beauty among the ashes. He sees in us what we do not see in ourselves. He understands things about us. Why? Because He created us. He knows us like no one else. He knows us and He sees in us what we do not see in ourselves. He understands it with patience and perseverance that He can purify us, that He can make us better, that He can redeem and restore us. See, the Bible tells us in this passage that Jesus gave Himself for us in order to do two things, to redeem and to purify. He gave Himself for us to do these things in us and for us. If we were to say it was a play, then we might segment into two great acts. Act one is redemption or salvation, and Acts 2 is purification or sanctification. These are the reasons, if you will, that He gave Himself for us. One might say it this way: Jesus came not only to save us from our sins, but to sanctify us unto God. He didn't just come to pull us out of the mess. He didn't just come to redeem us from a lost world. He came to reconcile us unto God. To present to God a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He came not only to redeem us, but to purify us. To make us who He knows we can be. However, as I survey society, I've come to understand, much to my disappointment, that this world does not understand the state that it is in. The world, the Bible says, is enmity with God. The world and its systems is full of corruption, and it is growing steadily away from God. It is further away from righteousness. It is not seeking to do the will of God. This world and its systems are evil. 1 John 2:15 and 16 say, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." It is sad to know that the systematic pursuit of our society is steering steadily away from righteousness. They are not seeking God. They are not endeavoring to do what is right. And as much of this world sees the world with rose-colored glasses, it becomes increasingly harder for people to realize their need for redemption. They don't realize the wretched state of this world. They do not realize how steeped in sin they have become.
They do not understand. Many of them live life. There is no eternal destination. They live life without care, it seems, for the eternity. They live life and they go through the motions, seeming only to care for the here and the now. There is no real understanding. There is no real perception about the other side and what waits for us when we pass from this life. They really don't even see the world in which they live as being evil. When one does not see themselves as drowning in a sea of sin, then there is no cry for help. There is no want to be rescued. When they do not see their wretched state, when they do not understand that they are sinners far from Jesus, when they do not understand that they are dead in trespasses and sin, then it is hard for them to realize their need for a Savior. So I began to think along these lines. I was taken to the book of Revelation. The church, the Laodiceans, Revelation 3, 14 through 19. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert hot or cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." That makes me nauseous. I want to vomit you up. Because this is why. This is what sickens God. And this, I believe, is the state of our world today. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." I don't need God. I don't need your religion. I don't need for you to tell me that I'm living a sinful life. I don't need anybody to look down upon me. I am my own person. I do my own thing. I live my own life. What is right is what's right to me, and what's wrong is what's wrong to me. There is no God to answer to. I don't care what you feel, and I don't care what you think. I am my own person, and I do my own thing. I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I don't have need of anything. I don't need your religion. I don't need your church. I don't need your relationship with God. I don't need any of that stuff. I'm fine exactly where I am. And many of them do not realize that they knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Don't even realize the state that you're in. It is the unfortunate understanding that this world does not recognize that they are wretched. So don't tell me about God. Don't tell me about holiness. Don't tell me about righteousness. Don't tell me that there's a way that I should live and there's things that I should do and should not do. I don't want to hear all that stuff. I'm fine. I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I don't have need of anything. I don't need what you're offering. No thanks. So they easily slam the door on the conversation. They easily steer it another way. They easily, in their own mind and in their own conscience, they really don't have any feeling, many of them, for anything eternal. And he said, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent." I wonder what it going to take. I wonder what is going to happen in our world. I wonder what is going to happen in our society for them to finally see. What is it going to take for their eyes to be anointed with eye salve, that they understand they are poor and wretched? What will it take for them to see the shame associated with their sin? What is going to have to happen in their lives for them to look heavenward and say, "Lord, I need you"? How long and what must transpire before they truly understand the need for repentance? See, repentance is really about the recognition of the need for redemption. that I'm here in this mess, that I am drowning in this sea of sin. What I'm going through and what I'm dealing with is something I need to be saved from. When someone realizes their wretchedness, then they recognize their need for redemption. Then they recognize I'm poor and I'm wretched and I'm full of shame and I'm naked and I need someone to save me. I need to be redeemed. See, the story of redemption becomes more beautiful the more I realize my wretchedness. Say that again. The story of redemption becomes more beautiful the more I recognize my wretchedness. How much I need Him. How much I have to have Him in my life, that I am drowning in a sea of sin, that I'm destined for eternal death, no hope of heaven. We've all been there, but God. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God, Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us even while we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. I am thankful for redemption. Like the old song says, I am redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. I have been redeemed. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to, oh wretch that I am, I'm thankful. I once was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I'm thankful for redemption. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus that washes away my sin. I'm thankful for that hope that we have, Sister Davis, that I have a new life in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm thankful for redemption. I'm thankful. The more I recognize my wretchedness, the more thankful I am for His redemption. The more I realize my inclination to carnality, the more I find myself following after flesh. The more I see my humanity ever evident in my life, the more I recognize, but for God, thank God for the blood. And I begin to wonder if recognition of the need for repentance was difficult, and it is in this day and age, getting people to pursue purification is harder still. There's a lot of Christians that love to hear about redemption. They love to hear Jesus paid it all, but they don't like the second part, all to Him I owe. They love to hear about redemption, and it's a great story. That old redemption story, how my Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I'm thankful for that. However, it's hard to see how many who never expressed their gratitude, who readily receive redemption, if you will. And please understand this, I'm not making a judgment on their eternal destination. That's between them and God. But how many have been redeemed but seldom seek purification? How many only understand half the story? You see, he gave himself for us, not just to redeem us. That's great, and I love the story, and I sing it, and I preach it, and it's the gospel, and I'm not ashamed of it, but it doesn't stop there. He didn't come and give himself for us just to save us. He came also to sanctify us. He didn't come just to redeem me. He also came to purify me. Well, there are many who love to hear about redemption. Harder for them to listen when we talk about purification. When we say, because he has redeemed you, there are things you need to do different now. Because he has given you the gift, it is not of works, lest any man should boast. Because by grace ye are saved. In response to that grace, and in response to that mercy, in recognition that you have been redeemed, that you were wretched, and that he saved you who were dead in trespasses and sin, now there should be a response that says, Jesus, purify me. Don't just pull me up out of the mess and leave me dirty and smelly. Purify me. Make me new. Wash me with the word. Purge me with hyssop. Lord, do what you need to do in my life. See, we need to understand the classic car is not restored just by taking it out of the junkyard. The antique piece of furniture is not made the centerpiece by just taking it from the furniture store and then sticking it in the basement. The pupil is not helped and does not excel as a student just because we take him out of the wrong crowd. See, what I believe is we need to recognize our need to be purified just as much as we recognize our need for redemption. Just as much as I need saving, I need sanctifying. Just as much as I need redeeming, I need purifying. I need the church. I need a body of believers. I need the good word to wash me. I need to come on Sunday morning and make sure that the word of God is ministered unto me, that it purges me, that it purifies me. It makes me better. Came not only to redeem, but also to purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Here's what really hit me. Why is it that even as Christians or even as believers, we somewhat bristle at the fact of being different? We somehow want to be like everyone else. We somehow want to melt into the crowd. We somehow don't want to be seen as different. We don't want to be peculiar. We don't want to be different. And please understand this. While there are some peculiarities, if you will, in our dress and in how we live, in our lifestyle, it's more than just how I look. Being peculiar and being separate and being called out is much more. It's not just about form. It's also about function. I don't do what I used to do. I don't live how I used to live. And I know you may think it's weird and you don't recognize your wretchedness, but I realize, and I'm not here to condemn you, and I'm not here to look down at you condescendingly. I'm here because I understand, but for the grace of God, so go I. And because he has redeemed me, I'm now allowing him to purify me, because he saved me, because he pulled me up out of the miry clay and he set me on a rock to stay. Now wash me, now scrub me, now chasten me. We realize that many times what we bristle at and what rubs us the wrong way is exactly what we need. And yet people flock to congregations by the thousands because the redemption story may be there. Be it far from many of those pastors of those congregations. And please understand, I'm not being judgmental, but they're ready to talk about redemption, hesitant to preach on purification. And I began to think about it. Act 1, the act of redemption, is really, and I understand he's involved in both acts, but it's really what God did for me. He redeemed me by his blood. See, Act 2, I play an important part. Because Act 2, I'm now allowing him to purify me. I'm allowing that same spirit that redeemed me, that same spirit that saved me, I'm allowing that same spirit to now wash me and sanctify me and make me new. I'm now allowing that same spirit to lead and guide me, because the steps I will take will lead me back to destruction. The steps that I take, there are a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are destruction. There's ways that I would want to go that will lead me wrong. And so I've got to lean upon him. I've got to, in all my ways, acknowledge him so that he directs my paths, so that I'm walking right, so that I'm talking right, so that I'm living right. Because he came to do more than just save. He came to purify. I want him. And I know it's not always easy. And I know during the preaching, it steps upon the toes and hearing teaching, which causes us to look at ourselves and say, wait a second, something needs to change here. It's not easy. It doesn't always tickle the ears and make us feel good, because it reveals in us the areas that need to be clean. It reveals in us those areas of our life that need to be purified. I'll give you a case in point. Even now, this is not an indictment, it's just so we understand the human nature, the response about redemption, even in this message, was greater than a response about purification. To be the bearer of bad tidings, but it's because it's our nature. Because to be redeemed, be saved, have opportunity to make heaven our home is what we want to hear about. And that's well and that's good. And I won't shy away from preaching. Neither will I shy away from there's something that needs to be done here and now. Sanctification, what needs to take place while I live between here and glory. There is glory that I need to give to God in my own life as he purifies me and makes me new. As he washes me. As he does those things, I, even today, am in the process of purification. I haven't attained. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. Being patient with the process. Decide that the purification is too rough. Stay with it. Allow him to continue to do what he would do in your life, because he gave himself for us, not just to redeem us, but also to purify us. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. We are not just saved from the world. We are sanctified unto God. I'll say that again. We are not just saved from the world. We are sanctified unto God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. So it is the understanding that as the world goes further away from God, it's not about maintaining a distance from the world. I'll say that again. It's not about just maintaining a distance from the world. It's not about being separate from the world. It's about also being separated unto God. I am saved from the world, but I am sanctified unto God. And the more sanctified that I am, and the more He purifies me, guess what? The more peculiar I become. So yes, I am going to be weird. And yes, people will look at me and not understand why I do what I do. You do what? Every Sunday? Wednesday too? You don't do this? No? Because I'm purified. I want to be like my hero. It's not just about being separate from the world. See, the world's over there and I'm here, so there's a good distance. God's there. He never changed. He's not going to come this way if I go towards the world. What's going to happen is that gap between God and I is going to widen. Even though I've maintained the gap with the world, what I don't realize is that that gap between God and I has widened because the world is going away. So instead of looking at distance between me and the world, I want to narrow the gap between me and God. I want to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I really don't care what the world's doing or where they're going. I readily recognize they're probably going away from God, but my focus is not there. I don't set my affection there. I don't have ties. I'm tied to God. I've set my affection upon things of God above. I want to be purified, and so I press toward the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus, and I want to be more like Him. I want to be holy, and I want to be righteous, and I want to be sanctified. Well, you're getting really weird and you're going way away from the world. Yes, that's the point, because He gave Himself for me, not just to save me from that world, but to sanctify me unto God, and so through Him I can draw closer unto God to redeem and to purify. I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning. I know many, if not all of you, under the sound of my voice, you've been redeemed. I'm just encouraging you, continue to be purified. Make me holy like you, Jesus. I want to be holy like you, Jesus. Purify me, cleanse me, make me new. I want to be holy like you. These altars are open. If you feel led to come, why don't you come and present yourself? Lord, help me. You gave yourself for me, not just to redeem me from this world, but to sanctify me unto God, to make me more like you. Make this your prayer. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strange to you. I don't want to be like everybody else. I want to be a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I want to be weird, because being weird is a sign that I'm drawing closer to God. Holy Spirit, purify me.
to you. Never be holy, holy like you.
More like you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Purify me, Jesus. Help me to be more like you. To love like you love. You're precious. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I bless you for being here in the house of the Lord this morning. Remind you, tonight, 6 o'clock, Revival by Design training continues. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.